Well, first off, it wasn't surprising to me that we had this tremendous act of terror on U.S. soil, specifically in New York City. I think, you know, when I first started in the early 80s, you could almost see the tempo and the pace of these attacks around the globe. And then, of course, you know, we had the assassination of Rabbi Meir Kahane by an Egyptian a killer by the name of Saeed Nosair, which occurred. So we knew we had this group of, we called Afghan Arabs at the time, that were on the loose in New York City. And so the attack on the World Trade Center wasn't surprising. But from a practical standpoint, you know, you immediately think of the times that you visited there. The U.S. Secret Service had a field office inside the building. We had been there repeatedly on protective details and visits and so forth. So it's one of those kinds of things that is not surprising, but yet you still are somewhat shocked that it actually occurred.
Okay. So how long did it take you to figure out what had happened that day?
Well, we pretty much knew it was a bomb right away, you know, based upon what occurred with what is called the blast seat, which is, you know, most people refer to it as the crater. We knew that we had a bomb inside the parking garage. We knew that it was a pretty good sized bomb just based upon the size of the blast seat. Your immediate reaction is one of how can we help? What can we do to assist? You start thinking about all the different actors that possibly could have been involved, from Hezbollah, who was the master of the car bomb in those days. And remember too, JJ, that the horrific bombings of the U.S. embassies in Beirut and Kuwait were fresh in all of our minds. Of course, that was the 83 and 84 bombings. So your natural default at the time is to relate that in size and in targeting to your previous MO.
All right. When you started the process of investigating this and looking for the persons responsible, how long did it take you to figure out that it was Ramzi Youssef?
Oh, my goodness. I don't remember the exact timeline. In my mind, it's been too many years now, JJ. But I know that very quickly the FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force in New York City brought forth a list of suspects, you know, that was linked to Sheikh Omar Abdul Rahman, the blind sheikh, as well as other Confederates of him. And from there, it was fairly simplistic, and I don't want to dumb that down, but, you know, the trail to Youssef got pretty hot during that time period, and we knew that we had a bomb maker that had to be found. As you and I have chatted in the past, you know, bomb makers are worth their weight in gold to a terrorist organization. And we also had in 1985 been given the authority for the Rewards for Justice program. And so we knew that if we could use at that time the $2 million reward offer, that could be a powerful tool to try to bring Ramzi Youssef to justice. So I still have one of the original matchbooks that we used during that time period, where we put Youssef's picture on the matchbook. In my office here, I'm staring at a poster of Ramzi Youssef that we had initially put together, looking for a bounty on his head of $2 million.
Have we figured out yet how to deal with soft targets?
I don't think so, JJ. I think we have too many soft targets. Now, having said that, I think you can do baseline threat assessments and pretty much figure out your highest profile soft targets in any venue. Pick your city, pick your poison, so to speak. But I think that we've gotten pretty darn good with mass casualty critical care response, meaning mitigating that threat once it starts to unfold. And I think that perhaps that's all we can strive for, to be blunt. You know, I've been in this business a long time now, and I think we've gotten quite good at that, reactive response to kill capture, to neutralize that threat quickly. The follow-up public safety and EMS training and merger of tactical response. And I think the real heroes, too, quietly behind the scenes in these things are the nurses and the trauma surgeons that are using some of the skill sets that we've learned on the battlefield, not to mention just the sheer volume of tempo of attacks we've suffered here in the United States and in Western Europe. So I think that public safety, you know, should get a pat on the back for that. You know, I think we figured that out. I don't think we figured out how to protect every soft target. And I think there's unrealistic expectations on the part of the media and the average citizen that we're going to be able to protect everything.
So, given what we know and given the circumstances that you've laid out, what is it that can be done better?
I think we have to look at emerging technology, technology solutions that perhaps can help us with the identification of pre-operational surveillance, warning, and indicators. I think when it comes to shooters, like what we recently saw unfold in Florida with the school shooting, I think we have to look at a Secret Service kind of model of how they look at individuals that have made threats or veiled threats. I think there has to be some hard discussions and training that reaches down into local and state law enforcement. I also think that there need to be some bold new thoughts on this issue, meaning I think perhaps we need to identify a federal government agency, whether that's the FBI, I don't know, if they're strapped too thin, to laser fixate on this phenomena and deal with the soft target threat, which I would place school shootings under that umbrella as well.
Fred, the school shootings is a trouble spot for a lot of people. And before we go, what do you think can be done in terms of better securing schools, but without turning schools into an armed camp?
I think it requires good process and procedures, great notification systems. I think it takes integration between the mental health system and local law enforcement. I think the Secret Service interdiction model needs to be applied at a very early level with some of these threats that are either veiled or hard to ferret out. I think it requires a single federal government agency to be the focal point, perhaps an organization like the United States Marshal Service. You know, they are quite good at the physical protection of structures and so forth. And I think the Bureau is a little bit strapped thin with terrorism and espionage. But if I was the Attorney General, that's what I would do. I would appoint a lead federal law enforcement agency to figure out a comprehensive solution to this phenomena.
Fred Burton, Vice President of Intelligence at Stratfor, and one of the leaders of the team that captured Ramzi Youssef, who attacked the World Trade Center 25 years ago today, on February 26th, 1993. Gigi Green, WTOP News.